Thanks. Well, the reason why I asked to be up first on the open mic tonight is actually not happy. I don't know how many of us among here have known Raven.
Oh, yeah.
Our dear spoken word performer Raven in Dublin died last week. He died in Lithuania in a drowning accident. And I've been grieving since I've heard that news. Raven actually put me up half a year after my brain surgery in his place for the Lingo 2014. And Jesus, without his support, I would not have been at the Lingo 2014 because I was still extremely fatigued and extremely in the haze. So over the week, I couldn't but think about it. And you know, to remember who was here last week, guys, do you remember I blurted out the word Raven with a five-word challenge? Now that happened because in that moment, I'd actually been thinking about Raven. And that's why I blurted out the word. So it's very funny, kind of 2 days later, he drowned. So I have a few thoughts, and then I would like to read that poem again that I wrote last week. So on Monday, 5th August, the five-word challenge at a whale began for me when I had a glimpse of a memory of you, Raven. So I called out the word Raven to include you in our poems. Is it not curious that I had a moment of eye to eye with you, feeling the depth of your wisdom, the age of your soul? I would have liked to know you more, Raven, but my memories of you, half in the haze, are fond. The intensity, fun, and joy of discussing performance techniques with you and listening to how you explain that you can taste the sounds of each word on your tongue. You took movement further in your performance, so eloquent, visually eloquent, and it stirred me to try harder, move more like a storyteller, charming his audience, transfixing us with deep, wise eyes. Isn't it funny that, was it 2 nights before your dying, you came into my head, a thought, a picture, your smile, a questioning eye, an eye to see me soul to soul for seconds until I blurted out, Raven. Is it funny, or is that your goodbye visit to me, to us in Cork? I am paralyzed by your dying, vanishing from this earth too soon. How we all wanted you, a bit of your energy, your respect, your time, your beaming light, your kindness and compassion. All this, Raven, you gave us plentifully, with such abundance we thought it was going to continue forever, that you would continue to live forever. Instead, abruptly, life takes you, so fit and strong, in an accident of drowning. I wonder how you went on to enter the ocean of love and how you recognized it. Did I talk to you about it? Was I aware of it when I visited you back then? I wonder, did you let go with love? Oh, Raven, I will miss your beautiful black looks and the depth of your eyes, your cheeky smile, your intensity and passion, and your kindness, your insightful support. Never again will I feel this in my life. Thanks for the precious experience of knowing you. Farewell. May we meet again. Visit. The raven's feathers shimmer green and blue in the pastel evening light, his lean muscles shining under his deep black coat. His wise eyes fixed on my kitchen window in patient anticipation, his cawing calls different from the familiar folk of crows. Where have you come from on this poetic evening, Raven? What magic do you carry? What message do you bring to those of us who listen? I open my kitchen window, leaving the light stream in as you hop closer, cautiously, while I cast out this morning's leftover sausages for you. Rather unbecoming to your plume, you know the better way from centuries of survival. You're an old soul, Raven, and it looks like you're smiling. Curiously, you respect my offer, and for a moment you halt, letting me see you in your full beauty, letting me watch you as you watch me, eye to eye. It is your freedom to share your wisdom in this quiet moment with me, and I'm honored to look into your eyes and truly see you before you pick up my offering and fly.
Next up is Hayley Hughes, and this is Hayley's last evening at O'Vale. She returns home Thursday of this week.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much for allowing me to read to you and talk to you for the last couple of years. Thank you. Paul Casey, for allowing me to read at the Winter Warmer and always welcoming me here. So I thought I would read a Cork poem. coincidentally, there isn't a mention of O'Vale, but I swear in the next draft, I will include O'Vale. This is called En Route. The taxi driver tells me I can scrunch up in the boot, or maybe I'd like the view from outside, on the roof. I pop up to the top. He checks, Western Road. I say, yes sir, righto. Away we go and pass my church on McCurtain Street. I reach out to prick my finger on the steeple before we lurch to a stop for the lollipop traffic light. Motorists honk and wave. I take a cautious bow before the driver chastens. Whoa, whoa, sit down. Don't look now, but there's the Keno where my friends sip coffee and write poetry. Fat rain drops pitter-patter on the roof, glistens in my hair. All I can do is stare at the little dote in a carriage pushed by a brood of boys on the cracked footpath. I already miss this, I whispered to myself. Wait, no, can you turn around, please? I say to the driver, who leans out to take a look at me. No, sorry, miss. We're here already. Home. Thank you.
By Lorca, translated by Tyler Fisher, and it's called The Gypsy Nun, dedicated to one of his fellow students, I think, as far as I can make out. The Gypsy Nun. Silence thick with lime and myrtle, mallows in the windle straw, the nun embroiders gilly flowers on a field of flaxen cloth, from the grizzled spider lantern, seven prison birds erupt. Far away, the church is grumbling like a bear turned belly up. Splendid needlework, how graceful on her flaxen tapestry. She is yearning to embroider flowers of her fantasy. Daisies and magnolias listen, ribbon tendrils. Spangled gauze, saffron crocuses and moonbeams stitched upon the altar cloth. Five red grapefruits slowly sweeten on the nearby kitchen's sill, Christ's five wounds, nasturtium blossoms, cups and Almeria's ills. Then two highwaymen come riding, galloping before across her eyes. One last muffled tremor rumbles, strips away the nun's attire as she gazes at the clouds and hills in rigid faraways, her heart of lemon tangled verbena, citrus mixed with sugar breaks. Oh, what flatland, sheer and soaring, lit by 20 suns on high. Oh, what rivers rearing upwards as her fantasy decries. But she keeps on with her flowers, while the rampant light still plays chess aloft in the checkered breezes through the latticed window bridge.
Thanks, Charles. Next up is Margaret O'Regan.
I'm not sure if this is a term, but I'm calling this a micro story. It's not a poem. Called The End and Beginning. It was going to seem strange to Jim when he'd move out on Friday. He was so used to living with the other men here. They ate together and worked together. They slept four to a room. He would miss the routines of life here. He would miss the camaraderie. Jim had lived here for 17 years. His friends were envious. Jim didn't feel hard done by. After all, he had received an education. He would be taking home his leaving certificate and his social science degree. They had even arranged for him to volunteer at the Merchants Quay Centre. Jim's mother and sister were to collect him. They were racked with guilt, of course, but he would have to put their minds at rest. He would have plenty of time. One thing continued to puzzle him greatly, though. In all those 17 years, no one, not the judge, the detectives, the legal people, even his psychiatrist, or indeed anyone here, no one had ever asked him why he had killed his father.
Thanks, Margaret. Next up is Mary O'Connell. Oh.
Thanks, Bernadette. Cathy Darcy has got a sort of pilgrimage wandering around Cork during the last few weeks on this particular day, and I was only able to join her on last Friday, which was a very unpleasant and kind of rainy and windy day. But anyway, we visited the South Chapel, and the idea was that we'd be inspired to write something. So I saw this amazing likeness of Christ under the altar in the South Chapel, and it inspired me to write this. It's called The Redeemer in Death. Out of a block of marble quarried in Carrara, John Hogan has revealed a form of the dead Christ. No sign of blood or blemish on the full-length figure stretched beneath the altar in St. Finbar's South. The elevated torso lets the head fall sideways while hair drops limply down. By his feet are thorns and nails. All muscle tension gone, exhaustion in the way each limb finds its true length, bearing down onto the plinth. Yet not a waxy corpse. His finely chiseled features show a man in deep repose. Golgotha, a bad dream. The mystery remains. Why a being of light and grace would wish to walk among us, shoulder our deepest pain.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Bernadette. Just to say, Hayley, I miss you. I know everybody else will. I will miss your nature in your poem, the way your whole nature comes through your poetry. Yeah, you've enlightened us all here, and the very best of luck. I know your life is going to be good. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let's give her a clap. Call to the light. When I hear the words look to the light, I find myself wincing a bit. I'm straightway bracing myself to stare into it, to stand and face the high noon sun that's potentially blinding. All the gods in the world won't talk me into it. And when I hear follow the light, I find myself wanting to stay with the softer and cozier glow at the end of the day, with the flickering patterns of flames and the candles and fires. All the gods in the world won't coax me out of it. And if I'm ever drawn to the light, it tends to be like a reflection on water, like ripples and moonbeams, or a sunbeam's deflection in the watering blending of hues from the prism's array. Still, all the gods of the world can't charm me under with it. And when they say live in the light, I psych myself up for the threat and the promise of glorious eternal days with no sunset. If that's what the last day's offering, I won't be showing. All the gods in the world won't sign me up for it.
Next up is Cedric Beacon.
Closed space, straight line. Every day is different, every time is the same. Salty tears, bitter coffee, sweet toast, sour words, scarred. Dry skin, burnt tongue, bitten cheek, fluttered ego, itching. Moist skin, entangled tongues, inflated cheeks, bruised ego, regretful. Burnt skin, salty coffee, chewed words, moist tongue, confused. Salty skin, sweet tongues, inflated words, chewed ego, lustful. Dry tongue, moist toast, chewed up cheek, sour ego, ruminating. Every day is the same, every time is an echo. Salty tears, bitter coffee, swallowed ego. Dry skin, burnt tongue, bruised ego. Moist tongue, chewed words, inflated ego. Bitter tears, burnt coffee, dried ego. The last day is an echo. Remaining time is for ego. Sweet, inflated. Moist, swallowed. Entangled, ego. Ego. Ego.
This is called Exercise with Caution. Exercise with caution, probably up to speed. One's own food is never a proper day. Taking heed well remembered, covert shell. Baby steps were required, backward paces. Adventures in luminescence, comforts the scars. There's not a structure never pull things off. Cast down eyes and mouth, constructing the sorrow. Image and text follows others permanently. Stale drinks quickly going out of fashion. Watching the sheep will go by is universally futile. Kept back for security, a public joke served. Clearing places on a borrowed kitchen. Solitary antics crash and burn forthwith. Loss of camaraderie is one's own fault. Passing on as required, no one be dispensable. The blank screen diverts to flighting off. Lifting various arms and floating away. Watched by successes, however dumb. Waiting for the others to commence in spiked satisfaction. Slowly dressed for the evening, sorely encased. in decrepit streetscapes, a tarot blessed with karma, calculating a better life without examination, cozied up with the nefarious on a chill night. Thanks.
Thanks, Patricia. Next up is May Jeanette Fast.
Hi, I thought I'd introduce myself. I'm new. My name is May. I'm what I like to call a spontaneous poet. You know, like I get feelings or like I see something inspire me or write a poem there and then. I don't tend to spend a lot of time on it, so my poem's a bit rough. That's why. So this is one I wrote about 2 years ago. I picked this one because I wasn't really prepared, so I'm sorry. Okay. It doesn't have a title, I have a lot of nameless poems. Haven't I been here a million times before? A million is exaggerating, but that's definitely the number of pieces my heart's been breaking. Oh no, I've started to write about pain, when there's nothing but rain soaking and drenching and suffocating from the cold that you're going to accept but will never love. But that's not true, because pain is a pleasure if you dose in small measures. The relief you feel like when you move from apprentice to master. But master of what? Of swallowing these feelings, burying them in the pit of your stomach, keeping them stuck and never digesting, because that would mean accepting it into your blood, your heart, your soul. I'm not a foal but a stallion, I fight my way true for my medallion. I'm not weak nor meek, but a freak who, despite getting hurt over and over, I thirst to be a betrover. To have oxytocin and endorphins, to slide down my throat in pins, pricking hot holes on the way to seek through. I lust for love and love to lust, I fall victim to Cupid's arrow's thrust. And I believe I can trust in these feelings that whisper like a first-rate mother to a child who has a slumber when there's ravenous thunder. So how can I just move on like everyone tells me? By everyone, I just mean me. I tell myself over and over I just need to let go. Your soul doesn't exist and I'm not adding to a list of lives that's been chasing you and loving you dismissed. But I can't, but you can, or so everyone tells me. And by everyone, I mean me, again. Because I'm my only friend who can truly swap thoughts and tangle them into knots. And feel every chemical reaction and nerve firing, and understand better than anyone that how I feel for you goes beyond chemistry and biology and surpasses the physicality of what we consider reality. It carries into my soul, and that saying is getting old, but it burns bright still. Even in corners of my mind's cave, where not even the brave dares to step inside, because inner demons hide, and my darkest side resides, and cannot understand why something so pure is shut off where I can't endure. But the sun's light, which sprouts life, and the water that feeds wildlife, when overloaded and swelled, can cause havoc and hell, burn out the eyes of every receiver and drown out the life of every believer. Again, I am talking about pain. All I ever talk about pain and how much I feel for you, to everyone, and by everyone, I mean myself. Because nobody gets to know how much you mean to me. Not even you, especially not you. But even more so, definitely me, especially not if I intend to be free.
Thank you, May. Next up, Philip Scalan.
Our approaching shadow is like a coming tomorrow. As the sun is going, they elongate and creep. Like everything is leaking. We forget the real perspectives, as light bulbs can replicate suns. They don't replicate yesterday's. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip. Molly to me.
Children of Year, but I took the swans out, and some of you have heard it already, so sorry. Finola. My friends get matching piercings, sip Smirnoff on rooftop bars, while I push a double buggy, cut jam sandwiches into hearts.
Maybe I shouldn't have called Dad's rebound a hag, but God, how she glared at the twins, stuck a pin in Con's bum, spat on Fiacra's rusk. I was subtle at first, glued her Mary Claire together, deleted photos of Dad off her iPad, put her mini on Done Deal, convinced her Cheerios were gluten-free. But when she caught me scrubbing Fiacra's potty with her pink toothbrush, she said, "Goodbye, good luck, I've had enough." I didn't hear the wallop she gave the back door, the curse she hissed under her tongue. I was shut in the bathroom, pulling the last of her hair from Mam's brush.
Thank you very much, Molly. And next up is Simon Spivchak.
I've got a few very short poems. So the first one is called Storm. The wind is roaring. Somebody calls my name. No one is home, but I hide all the same. This one's called Mute. Though my headphones muffle outside noise, filter and muffle as they may, but nothing, nothing will ever silence the violently howling inner voice. This one's called Someday. Nephew, years from now, I'll tell you how your happy chubby face and your bright little eyes guided me through darkness. This one's called Break. I broke the first time you told me that you wanted to die. Not a thing I could do to help you get through. When you told me, you tried and stopped in part because of me. A small broken shard of hope. And this final one doesn't really have a name. I woke up and no longer had feelings for you, numb but relieved. You were frustrated and decided to leave. The blue was drowning me slowly, its waves washing me clean and anew. I needed help. This was all that I knew.
Thanks, Simon. Next up is Rab.
This is also from last week's five-word challenge. Freedom! Squawked the raven as it swooped in, grabbing my lean pastrami sandwich and disappearing over the gable of a nearby building. Those types of events were becoming more commonplace. Just yesterday, there were reports about a troop of baboons near New Delhi who would range the city at night, removing batteries, spark plugs, and injectors from all the vehicles they found. Animal militancy was growing. 12 artificial insemination technicians had been kicked to death by unhorny cattle in the last week. City cats were congregating outside butchers, pissing and spraying and scratching for the many, not the few, on doors and windows with diamond sharp claws. I resolved to become vegan, and realizing it would be unbecoming of me to eat them, I flushed my clonical tea sausages, pork content 40%, the other 60% possibly vegan, down the toilet.
Thanks, brother. Knee of Tumi.
My baby sister was born when I was four, and someone suggested to my parents to give me a present to distract me. This is called the present.
You were four and I was the tape recorder, perched at the foot of the bed where your baby sister was born. Mom and Dad looked down at you, faces like ponds in springtime. They pointed to me, a present from the new baby sister. You knew better. There was no toy shop in Mommy's belly. But you took me up in your arms anyway, curious. My fat coloured buttons and red microphone clipped into my side and chanted you for hours. Together we recorded every dripping tap, every protesting floorboard, Dad's feet on the stairs, Mom's tired groans, baby gurgling, bathwater gurgling, when someone filled you a bath and forgot to turn it off.
Thanks, Niamh. Maria Wood?
I wrote this poem because a friend of mine's son was getting terribly bullied at school in Pomoy, and he went to the principal, he went to teachers, but he was ignored. And so I wrote this. It's called Having the Guts. Visibly I shrink from within as intestines are plucked and ripped, making me now a mere gutless fool. My body slithers to schoolyard wall, eyes averted, desperate for non-detection. Inhaling perspiration as you stealthily circle me, a hyena hungry my flesh. Urging angels to spirit away your bulldozed frame as you sniff and stare. Inflating my hairless chest, a claim I'm not your man Friday, nor yours any day of the week. You cannot manipulate the petite I lie in the palm of your hand to be crushed like a beetle. Alone I stand and watch, my fear rapidly rising, marking me out from the rest. Thus put to the ultimate test, my courage wavers, yet shakily I seize control. Better to die whole than to forever live a gutless quavering soul.
Thanks very much, Maria. And to close out the open mic, I think we have the pleasure of Mo.
Thank you very much. Thank you. There's a poem. It's an old poem from Maria. Wrote at the end of the Celtic Tiger, and I see the cranes on the skyline like capitalist vultures surrounding us. So it's time for this poem again. It's a poem called The Unfree State. The Unfree State. Michael Collins sought us out, nor was able to set him up. I heard the grown men shout, I was a child. The war was most uncivil, its shadow stretching far. It shaped the way we lived, the way we died. Dave would like to see us dancing at the crossroads, comely maiden with a skirt below her knee. Then Lemassie had a vision. We go into Europe, cut the cord with Britain and be free. We joined the common market, threw away the LSD. 'Tis better for the country, we were told. New roads and milk quotas, including new crop rotas, where barren land was worth its weight in gold. King Charlie showed the way, with fine shirts and Chardonnay. Our belts tightened for the 80s that were black. When Bertie came along, Pat could do no wrong. To London we were never going back. Roman armour showed a chink, as Eamon had a drink with any just divorced from USA. His palace was the garden, with the serpent human nature. The fall was swift and shocking in its day. Worse was yet to come in the intervening years that the mask of canon law could not abide. Monstrous deeds unveiled, humanity derailed, church leaders who had failed us, who had lied. Situations vacant, false prophets, said Yed. Men like Shawnee stepped into the void. He started with a digger, pulled a stroke or two. He's the richest man in Ireland, nobody cried. Living in Cork, with a summer home in Kerry, even though there's no summer to be seen, a chopper to the races, in Galway or such places, to meet some politician, how obscene. Shawnee's a great man, came from nothing. Look at him now, look at him now. Shawnee's a great man, came from nothing. Look at him now. Bankers, priests and politicians, all wrong, we raised them well. We taught them how to play the game. Houses, souls and votes were always in demand, with planning in the holy name. God bless us and save us. If we don't buy the field, we'll be the talk of the place. The manager said to your father, it's now a two-horse race. Shawnee's a great man, came from nothing. Look at him now. Look at him now. Shawnee's a great man, came from nothing. Look at him now. Put Pat in the doll, he'll get us the grant. He's pulled with the crowd in Dublin. His father was shot by the blackened hands, though his mother was a-blowing. Put Tim in the bank, he'll get us the loan. They say he'll get promoted. His brother was great with Nuala, and you know which way they voted. My cousin the bishop, a grand plain man, no airs and graces. You could see him at a match, or even at the races. When Mary gets out of college, it's a teaching job she'd need. He'll hardly look over his own for one of a foreign breed. Plebs on a rock at Europe's edge, we take our place amongst the nations of the earth, waiting for the handout like the once noble lion in cage at Dublin Zoo. The new landlord takes our rent like the squire at the royal table. To the troika we got cap in hand, gin afflicting while we're able, till debt do us part, till debt do us part. Shawnee's a spent man, he has nothing, look at him now, look at him now. Shawnee's a spent man, he has nothing, look at him now. Look at us now, a great future behind us. That's it, thank you.
Thank you, Mo, and thanks to everybody who contributed to the open mic tonight. A very special thanks to Dr. Dodd.